Welcome to the More Than Fitness Podcast.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to minisode number 148. And as you guys can see on the video podcast, I am in my new apartment in Lexington, Kentucky. Now, I know there's not much stuff up, so it kind of looks like I'm on the casting couch right now. And if you got that joke, thank you. If you didn't get that joke, look up the casting couch and you can join the club. The club of delinquents. Anyway, I'm excited to be here. It's still very bare bones in the apartment right now, but it's got a lot of character, and I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to continue to do these minisodes, do the podcasts. I don't know if this is where I'm going to continue doing them. The lighting is obviously wonderful, but we're going to figure it out. And that's not what we're going to talk about today. Today, we're going to talk about why intermittent fasting sucks. And now I also just realized, so for the audio listeners, I'm on a couch right now. And so I'm going to try and get cozy. Maybe I should I just like sit back like this? Just like get super cozy? I don't know. I kind of like this. All right. Why intermittent fasting sucks? Oh, real quick. I am still taking questions for these minisodes. So if you have a question that you want me to answer on the podcast, on the minisode, just drop it in the link below and I will answer your question. Now, for those of you who don't know what intermittent fasting is, just a brief explanation. It's actually, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Literally, you fast for, let's say, let's say you eat for 8 hours for the day. Some people do 16-hour fast. Some people do 18-hour fast. Some people do 12-hour fast. But the idea is just to shorten your eating period throughout the day, right? And the reason why this works for a lot of people is because of convenience. So just eating less frequently takes up less time. So it can be helpful for busy people. People that just don't want to make a lot of meals. And then also people who like the constraints, right? So you want to have the constraints of only eating within an 8 hour period. I know that this title is why intermittent fasting sucks. However, I think that there are ways that you can do it correctly, at least in my opinion. And I just think that it's kind of making things a little bit harder than it needs to be. And it's also the proposed benefits that people tend to tout about intermittent fasting are typically overblown. So the first one is about how good fasting is for you, right? So people like to claim about cell death, so autophagy. And the research is pretty clear that sleeping does a good job with autophagy, right? Because that is an intermittent fasting period already kind of built into our everyday lives. So that's going to be a, whatever, 6 to 8 hour period without any food. And so that's, you know, that's going to be pretty good. But then also people tend to think of this only in the sense of their fasting periods. So like a 12-hour fast or a 14-hour fast, but research has also shown that as long as you're in a calorie deficit, right, throughout the entire day, because we're thinking net, because your body, it's not just like an on and off switch, right? It's kind of going up and down throughout these periods throughout the day. So you eat and then all of these things happen and then your body starts to digest it. And then the thing, basically the cell death, all these other types of things start to happen as you start to digest the food, as you start to use the food as energy. And so basically just the autophagy thing doesn't really make sense whenever you're just in a calorie deficit, right? That's one way to promote autophagy. And then also the sleeping is another way for autophagy as well. And that's not even the biggest one, because I think those benefits, it's like people like to throw out that word and they don't even know what it means or why it's good or anything like that. That's just one of them. I think the bigger caveat with me and intermittent fasting and why I think it sucks is because it just promotes bad eating behaviors, and it goes against kind of our normal hunger cues and satiety cues. And I think that anytime you're trying to fight against your body, long term, it's going to have negative consequences, right? And what I mean by that is that you're literally having controlled starvation for part of the days, right? Or part of the day. With intermittent fasting during that period, like you could be really hungry and then you just like don't eat, you power through it. And this is what a lot of them talk about. They talk about like the mental resilience behind doing an intermittent fast. And I get that for maybe a day fast or something, or a 48-hour fast. If that's something that you want to do and challenge yourself to do for mental resilience, I think that's cool. However, that doesn't mean that it's a good diet to follow long-term, right? Like mental resilience is one thing, but having a nutritious diet and nourishing your body for health, and then also body composition, losing fat, gaining muscle, you can't put those in the same category, right? And like our bodies give us these signals. Our bodies are much smarter than we give them credit for. It's just like we have these hunger signals and we have these satiety signals for a reason, you know? And it's much easier to just learn how to kind of eat appropriately, intermittently throughout the day. For most people, that tends to be a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's a reason why that just happens to work out for most people. The average meals for most people is going to be a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, there can be snacks, there can be four meals, there can be five meals, whatever. But I just think that anytime you try to purposefully fight against your body, I think that you're going to lose, especially if you're in any way prone to any type of disordered eating, right? So the number one thing, so I'm a registered dietitian. We've learned about eating disorders, like actual, there's a difference between disordered eating and eating disorders, but any type of disordered eating or eating disorders, one of the first things that whenever you go to a specialist, so if you go to an eating disorder specialist, typically you have a registered dietitian, you have a medical doctor, and then you also have like a psychotherapist basically, and they work together as a team. But one of the things that the registered dietitians do, the very first thing that they do with almost any type of eating disorder is some type of regulated meal schedule throughout the day. You have to have a routine. And for most people, and what most registered dietitians advise for these people with eating disorders is three meals and three snacks. And then you stick to that every single day. And now you may say, oh, I'm not hungry in the mornings. Like, I'm trying to listen to my cues, whatever. It's like, if you've been doing intermittent fasting for a long time, or you've been eating a certain way for a long time, you've been skipping breakfast for a very long time, well, your body also is, again, very smart. It's going to adapt to that as well. And so in the initial period, whenever you do start to eat more frequently and you start to eat more meals, maybe for breakfast, you're not going to be super hungry, but it's still important to get in a little bit of food. And that's going to trigger the cascade of all these different hormones and signals and responses that go throughout the body, so that in a couple weeks' time, your body can start to regulate itself. Your body loves routine. Your body loves staying at homeostasis and having things predictable. That's why you get hungry typically at the same times each day. You get full after eating a certain amount of food. This is why people can typically have some type of set point in their weight, right? Most people don't track their food, don't track their calories, but can still roughly maintain around a certain weight for years on end. And why can they do that? Because their body is smart, because they have these signals and feedback mechanisms in their body that are allowing them to do so. So intermittent fasting, I think that it really fights against the body, and it can also promote this type of binge and restrict eating pattern that, especially if you suffer from like going to the extremes with things, because maybe you started off with like a 12-hour fast and then you wanted to do a 14-hour fast and now you're doing a 24-hour fast, right? And then it's just like you keep pushing the envelope, and then it's just that's it's not going to be good, right? Your body needs food. Your body needs food regularly to maintain the functions that allow you to operate optimally. Now, can you do intermittent fasting? Like, can you only eat one meal a day? Can you only eat two meals a day? Yes, of course you can, because again, the body is efficient. But that doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. So yeah, I think that it just promotes, it can promote very unhealthy eating patterns, especially people who are already susceptible to unhealthy eating patterns. I also think that from a pure body composition standpoint, from a muscle gain standpoint, and so whenever you're trying, let's say you're, you know, you're watching this, your goal is fat loss, you're trying to lose some weight, you're trying to tone up, you're trying to get in shape, yada, yada, right? So that's going to involve two things. It's going to involve gaining muscle, and it's also going to involve losing fat, just from a bare bones perspective. Okay, so intermittent fasting can allow you to create a calorie deficit because the eating window is smaller. So that means you're probably going to eat fewer calories total throughout the day. And so that can definitely take care of the fat loss side of things. However, on the muscle gain and the muscle retention side of things, it is also lacking pretty heavily, because not only are you going to have to get in all of your protein. So let's say you're getting, for math's sake, let's just say you're getting in a gram per pound of protein. And so let's say you're 160 pounds. So you need to get in 160 grams of protein per day. Now, if you have two meals that you're eating that day, you're going to have to get in 80 grams of protein per meal, right? And so not even on the fact that like your body is, it's not that your body is not going to utilize or it's not that your body isn't going to absorb all that protein that you're eating. However, your body would utilize that protein more efficiently if you spaced out that 160 grams of protein throughout 4 to 5 feedings throughout the day, right? And I don't have to get into the nitty-gritty science of that, but it's basically, if you want to look it up, look up intermittent or look up meal frequency and muscle protein synthesis, right? Our bodies stimulate muscle protein synthesis whenever we have a certain amount of protein, but whenever we reach or whenever we extend past that certain amount of protein, our muscle protein synthesis hits a threshold and it doesn't get any higher, right? So eating more protein doesn't necessarily mean more muscle growth within that one meal. And so just take my word for it, unless you want to look it up, or if you want to ask me a question more about it. Spacing out your protein feedings throughout the day is going to allow you to stimulate muscle protein synthesis more often, and therefore you're going to be able to build more muscle. Even if you have, so if you have 160 grams of protein that you're eating in one day, and you split it up between two meals, and then the other person splits it up between 4 to 5 meals, I would still bet everything else matched that the person spreading it out between 4 to 5 meals is going to build more muscle than the person only distributing it through two meals, right? And that's been documented, right? It's why I'm recommending these meal frequency recommendations. So it's like, not only it's gonna allow you to build more muscle from a muscle protein synthesis standpoint, but also it's like in these periods, whenever you're fasting, your body is going to have to pull nutrients from something. Sure, you can have those two big meals and that can be digested and used for energy for a certain period of time. But then after several hours go by, right, it's like then your body needs to pull nutrients from something else. And if you don't still have this meal circulating in your bloodstream, it's like, what do you think that it's going to get energy from? It's going to get it from your fat tissue and your muscle tissue. And now there's a, you know, it can go between those two, kind of unpredictably. However, if you're going to lose some fat, but you're also going to lose some muscle mass. Your body is going to use up some of your muscle mass as along with your fat mass. But if you distributed it through more meals throughout the day, for example, if you had a meal right before bed, and then you fast during your sleep at nighttime, it's like you're going to retain more muscle. The person who eats before bed is going to retain more muscle mass than the person who doesn't eat before bed. Now, what difference does this make on a long-term thing? Long-term, I think it actually does make a big difference. Short-term, you know, maybe not. It's really up to you. And if intermittent fasting is something that allows you to adhere to your diet better, then, you know, more power to you. But I think what you need to be mindful of is your eating behaviors and your inner talk around like binging, restricting, how hungry you are, right? I think that you need to pay attention to those things. And then you also need to make sure that you're getting in vital nutrients and minerals and, phytonutrients and all these things. It's like a lot of people just use intermittent fasting so that they can eat whatever they want for two meals, but that usually doesn't consist of, you know, a huge salad with tons of different colors and things. So just the simple fact of eating fewer times throughout the day gives you fewer opportunities to gain more essential nutrients in your diet and a more diverse and variety of nutrients in your diet. And so that can be a big problem, obviously. So these are some of the considerations. And also, who the fuck wants to just be hungry all the time? Like, I you know, maybe you're more badass than me because you want to be hungry all the time, but I don't buy it. Like, I literally, the benefits, the only benefit I can see is just by saying that you're quote unquote tougher than I am. But other than that, intermittent fasting is fucking stupid, in my opinion. And that is how I'm gonna wrap up this minisode, because there's just other ways to go about it. You can do like modified intermittent fasting. So why not just do like, maybe you can do two big meals and then maybe like a third snack or something, you know, like you can have shakes. So maybe you can have a shake. So something that I've done, I've had like a two snacks and two meals, right? And that can kind of offset things a little bit. You don't have to just have three balanced meals per day. There's different ways that you can do it. But the main thing is going to be the protein, right? You want to make sure that you space that protein out throughout the day. So that's why I would have a shake in the morning. And that can kind of be my protein for the morning after a long period of fasting. And then I can have two or three more meals, and then another snack before bed. But this allows me to distribute that protein out there. And it allows me to manage my hunger a little bit better and kind of work with my body instead of working against my body. And that's all I've got to say on intermittent fasting. And that is it for the first, but definitely not the last, minisode in this apartment. If you have a question, drop it in the link below. Rate, review, subscribe, hit the bell notification on YouTube, all that fun stuff if you like it. If you want to learn more about one-to-one coaching with me, you can check the link in the description on figure out how to apply. And that is it for minisode number 148. Thank you guys, as always, for listening and for watching. And that is that, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the More Than Fitness podcast. And please, if you could help me out a little bit here and leave a rate and review in iTunes, and also take a screenshot and post it up on your IG story. Tag me at MattMcLeod6. I'd love to share it. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast, and also so that we can share the word with other people. I would love to build up this community, build up this tribe of people that we have like you and I, and get the word out there. Also, if you want more free content, you can check the links in the description. I have my free 4-week workout plan, The Ultimate Physique Development. And also, if you want to work with me online, one-on-one for personal coaching, you can check the link in the description as well. And anything else you need, please send me an email, send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for listening.